Well, hey there, folks. Welcome to Astronomica, a Stars Without Number actual play podcast.
Our story takes place 6 centuries after the collapse of an interstellar empire as a band of ne'er-do-wells pick through the ashes.
We're not ne'er-do-wells.
If anything, we're oft-do-wells.
When have you ever done well?
We've had more than 160 episodes. There's been tons of well-doing.
That's too much for him to go back through.
Then he can listen to one of our regular synopsis episodes and get all caught up on the backstory.
Okay, fine, but you're rare-do-wells at best.
Okay.
Fine.
Guys, do you think we should scrap Astronomica and just make a show called Rare Do Well?
Yes, I do.
We've got more than 3 years of zany characters, unique planets, and novel sci-fi situations. We've built an awesome and inclusive fan community. We are not starting over.
Okay, but I mean, Astronomica kind of sucks. Rare Do Wells sounds awesome.
Don't listen to them. Astronomica's great. We're really proud of it. Check us out on a podcatcher of your choice or visit astronomicapodcast.com. Excelsior.
Welcome to Dark Star Adventures. Tonight, we journey deep into the shadows of the Viridian Expanse, where danger lurks at every turn, and no one can be trusted. You've tuned in to an adventure where the stars are cold, the enemies are many, and every decision could be your last. Tonight, a ragtag team of unlikely allies find themselves drawn together, not by fate, but by the designs of an unseen power. Before we launch into the heart of the action, let's take a moment to meet our crew. First, there's Brian, who plays the steady hand and smooth talker Captain Thorne, the diplomatic leader who keeps the crew's wits sharp and their deals sharper.
A new system, a new chance to turn a profit.
Next is Stephanie, who takes charge of Haley with two Ys, a no-nonsense warrior who solves her problems with overwhelming force and heavy firepower. Behind the gunnery station, she's a wrecking ball in human form. Less talk, more explosions.
It's Haley with two Ys.
Then we have Doja, playing the wild card pilot, Robert Ross, with nerves of steel and a devil-may-care grin. Whether he's threading the needle through an asteroid field or out drinking a bar full of spacers, Ross flies by instinct and just enough luck to keep him alive.
This afro is the only thing keeping my head together.
And Scott rounds out the crew as Felix Champlin, the enigmatic transhuman hacker with a razor-sharp mind and steel in his stride. Armed with cutting-edge prosthetics and a talent for turning the digital void into his playground, Felix is the ghost you never see coming.
I'm moving beyond humanity's limitations.
Now, buckle up. The stars are waiting, and the Viridian Expanse never forgives the unprepared. This is Dark Star Adventures.
Yeah! Here we are! Dark Star Adventures!
Woo!
Here we are! The excitement is palpable. With our four brave adventurers, Scott, Brian, Doja, and Stephanie, thanks so much for joining me tonight for the first episode of Dark Star Adventures. Pew, 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 pew! Yeah! Okay, we're going to dive right into it. I got a great adventure for you guys tonight, so let's go.
The view from the cockpit is a dizzying swirl of stars as your ship tears away from Kamiri 4. The station's glittering lights shrink behind you, but there's no time to admire the view. Your sensors are screaming. 2 strike fighters have broken from the station's shadow, their sleek silhouettes gleaming against the void. Bright flashes of laser fire light up the blackness as they streak towards your vessel. Close it fast. The targeting computer chirps, incoming, threat detected. The controls hum under your fingertips as your ship jolts from an impact. A moment of static buzzes across the comms before a crackling voice cuts through.
You thought you could just up and leave without saying goodbye? I don't think so.
The strike fighters are faster and more maneuverable than your ship, but your vessel packs more of a punch. This battle isn't just about survival. It's a test of your crew's ability to work together under fire for the first time. All right, everyone. This is it. You're under attack. Who's heading up to the weapons? Who's piloting? And what's your plan for keeping this crate in one piece?
Stations, everyone. Get in your stations. We got combat.
Sir, yes, sir.
I'm down to the guns.
Robert, what can you tell me about these fighters?
Yes, sir.
And I pull them up on screen.
Robert, you take a look at the radar readout and you ping the enemy ships as they close in on you once again. They appear to be two standard strike fighters. In fact, they get close enough for you to get a visual off your port bow, and you see that they have been spray painted heavily in various colors, probably gang affiliations from that space station you just left.
Sir, we got two MiGs on our port. This is definitely gang affiliated. We're gonna need to take them out.
Only one way to deal with riffraff like this. Haley, make sure you get those cannons primed.
Ready for the pew pew.
Robert, make sure you keep the engines primed. We may need to move around quickly, but for now, just keep her steady. Felix, see what you can do to get the systems in order. Haley's gonna need all the energy that she can get to fire those cannons.
Aye, aye, Captain. God, what are all these tools? Ugh. All right, I think everything's lined up. All right, Haley, you should have everything you need.
Well, a gun's a gun. I'm gonna fire one weapon. And I shoot, and I put all of my strength behind it. Boom.
Haley's muscles flex as she works the gunnery and brings the multifocal laser with its incredible armor-piercing power to bear down on the first strike fighter. And that is a hit for one damage. It's not a lot of damage, but the armor piercing is so strong that it careens straight through the strike fighter's hull, slicing it like butter and dealing that full 1 point of damage to it.
One full point.
Nice shot, Haley.
Atta girl.
Thanks. Boop, boop. Felt good. I'm going again. I'm gonna shoot that same ship. Ugh.
You bring your multifocal laser to bear on that same strike fighter once again, but you go wide. The laser shoots past the strike fighter, nicking the side of the space station behind it.
Oof, hope no one saw that one.
Better luck next time, Haley.
The first strike fighter that you shot at swings around. You frantically swing your sensors around to keep it in the clearest spot on your radar screen as it opens fire on your aft. Its Reaper battery fires out in great bursts and hits for 6 points of damage, tearing through the right side of your cargo bay.
Captain, there's a crisis on board.
Talk to me, Felix. What are we dealing with?
That last shot grazed our cargo bay and it opened it up to the outside. I gotta get down there and fix it right away or we're toast.
I'll support you however I can.
I get up from my chair and I start running as fast as I can down, and I'll deal with this on my next turn.
So Felix has left the engineering and comms departments completely bereft of anyone. So you're effectively two departments short on your next turn while he runs down to try to fix this. Unfortunately, there's no one else that can do it because he is the fixer. So Felix rushes down to the cargo bay to try to stop everything from rushing out into the vacuum of space. Meanwhile, the second strike fighter whirls around to your opposite side, flanking you, and takes a pot shot at your back engine. With a 12, it misses your armor class of 14, which is good because it was ready to do some massive damage to you. The Reaper battery it fires whizzes just over the top of your ship and off into the void of space. Well, Captain, as you stand on the bridge, looking out at these two strike fighters that are assaulting your newly acquired spacecraft, you can't help but think about how you actually got into this situation. All the events that unfolded in the space station just mere hours before that led you to this predicament. You know, sometimes life can be a little funny. And when it gives you lemons, you have to make a spaceship out of it. Flashback sequence. We are now rewinding to what is the start of the adventure.
Oh, shit.
The four of you come from many different walks of life. But something that you all share is that you received a cryptic message from your employer, Omnitech Corp, telling you to head on out to a gas mining office on a recluse deep space station on the outer fringes of space called Kamiri 4. For those of you that may have investigated Kamiri 4, you find it odd that there's actually no Omnitech presence on this station at all. In fact, Omnitech isn't a very powerful megacorp. It would have been weird if they did have a presence here, but you do find it odd that they would ask you to come here.
I didn't think my TPS reports were that bad, but I guess they're relocating me already.
You find yourself with three other people at the front of the gas mining offices, a recruitment center to hire low-skill workers to work in the gas mines on various gas giants or high atmosphere density planets to pull enriching nutrients or heavy gases out of the sky and repurpose them for terraforming and other such things. The door is locked, but as the fourth of you arrives, you hear the door snick as it unlocks and slowly creaks open on rusted metal hinges. Peering inside, you see a Spartan office. No chairs, a single metal desk on two metal legs. Behind it, a robot that is welded to the floor, unable to move from its position. This robot is not meant to look human. It is simply a trapezoid with a speaker in front of it.
Please enter the gas mining offices of Crimeria 4.
That's quite an old model of bot there, Felix says as I walk in cautiously.
Yeah, I don't think we should offend it, if you know what I mean.
Thorn strides in and up to the desk, and he says, yes, this is Thorn Draxus reporting from Echo 3 about some Blackout 1?
Haley walks in, all 6'5" of her, and just stares at this awkward, awful machine, wondering why they're there.
The door shuts behind you, and you hear it lock. The one window, which is already frosted over, now has a metal shutter come down, plunging you into darkness. A light turns on. A low blue hum emits from the droid.
Welcome to the secret Omnitech offices on Crimeria 4.
A small chute opens up in front of it, and a tiny pincer claw comes out, holding an SD card. The tiny arm telescopes out to the wall where there is a slot with a speaker above it. It inputs the SD card into the slot. Immediately, a voice fills the room.
Welcome, members of Blackout 1. This mission briefing is classified. We trust you understand the importance of secrecy. A few months ago, a deep space outpost intercepted an encrypted transmission from outside the sector. A transmission which resisted all conventional forms of decryption. We found and employed some of the sector's best hackers, and out of their efforts came a string of numbers we now believe to be coordinates. Coordinates leading to an uncharted system at the far reaches of our own sector, the Viridian Expanse. Your mission is to travel to Mistrata 4. There, you will retrieve a xenolinguist named Dr. Alara Voss. Once you have her in your service, figure out how to get to the Uncharted Sector and discover what there is to learn there. To aid you in this mission, a free merchant-class spaceship has been purchased and awaits you in Docking Bay 72. Now, although this ship has not flown in close to a decade, it exists in no known registration, allowing you some anonymity. A false ship identification has been uploaded on a chip, which has been provided to you.
At this point, the little pincer claw retreats back into the robot and comes back out holding a small envelope. And it hands it to Robert Ross. It goes to hand it to Robert Ross, but then Thorne snatches it out of
it. I grab it.
Peeking inside of the envelope, you find 1,000 credits represented in physical form and a small SD card.
Some credits have also been provisioned for food and additional supplies. We are likely not the only group or corporation to have intercepted this signal. Be wary, for those you meet on your travels may be searching for the same thing as you. You will have no contact with us until your mission is complete. We will be in touch.
The transmission ends. A curl of black smoke rises from the port that the ST card was inserted into. The shutters rise, and the door unlocks.
Well, this is all a bit cloak and dagger, isn't it?
I can't say that this is what I expected when I woke up this morning.
What's it in that envelope, Thorn?
Thorn dumps out the contents like into his hand and holds it out. Well, these are the credits that they mentioned, and one of these here data chips.
Now, let me take a look at that.
It's a standard high-capacity SD card. You're not sure what's on it, but according to the transmission, it's some sort of identification profile for the ship. So, assumably, once you get to the ship, you'll have to upload it into its systems. Yep.
This must be that that ID they're talking about for the ship. I'll hold on to this. I'll get us loaded up when we get there.
License and registration.
Apparently so. By the way, Thorne, good to see you again. Haven't seen you since that last mission with Echo 3.
Yeah, I'm surprised they put us together after that whole thing went haywire last time.
Well, you know, it was nice to have a break, but I'm glad to be back in the action.
When you say haywire, we're supposed to save Dr. Voss. You guys can do that, right? Find her?
Ma'am, I can find her, but saving people, I mean, I work with machines, not people. You look more like you could save somebody.
Just gotta get to her before anyone else does.
So, I know I threw a lot of paragraphs at you, and I can give you like a high-level version of it. Your mission for tonight is to go get your ship from Docking Bay 72, and then go to Mistrata 4, which is a research facility on the planet Wafisa in the Ravarmi Trita system. So that is 5 systems away. So you're looking at like 20 to 30 days of spike drives.
So we want to make sure we've got good supplies on this ship when we get there.
Yep. And for that, I'm going to take a look around, good look around, make sure that if there's anything that we can harvest out of this base while we're making our way to the dock, I'm going to see if I can grab it.
Absolutely. So as you leave the false front of Omnitech here on Chimera 4 and start making your way towards the docking bays, at least some of the docking bays, 1 through 100, because you're looking for 72, you are encountering this horrible space station that was once a hub for research and development, but has since, over the past 20 years, turned into a haven for black market drugs and illicit activities. The corridors are dark, with many of the lights burnt out or broken. It's grimy, it's run down. There's obviously no governmental entity here. There's no cleaning staff. There's simply anarchy. The air smells of rust, old fuel, and the buzzing of malfunctioning lights flickers overhead. It's not a very pleasant place. In fact, like many space stations, it feels as if you were underground, but here it's particularly claustrophobic. All of the luxuries that even the cheapest space station has are not present here. Windows into space, or at least illusionary pictures to make you feel like there's an actual planet outside with blue skies and green grass. Here you are deep underground, even though you are floating in the middle of space.
Well, I'm certainly going to be looking out for ammunition, rations, fuel, and any drugs I can find just to keep them out of Felix's hands.
Hey, you don't know me yet, man. How does, just out of curiosity, do we know how like supplies work on ships? Is it just based on the life support?
I'm not going to run a very crunchy game.
Okay, cool.
But the one thing you will need is fuel.
Okay.
We're going to probably want to like track fuel because that's impetus for you to take on jobs.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. But for food and stuff, I don't care. If you have fuel in your tank, then I assume you have enough food to eat as well.
Okay. That makes sense.
So are you guys making your way towards Docking Bay 72 while just looking out for other things? Or are you intentionally going away from Docking Bay 72 to shop or to search?
I think we should. I mean, we're here for a reason. I want to get off this station.
Mm-hmm.
Elk around. Y'all ready to go? I mean, I assume one of you can pilot this thing.
Yeah, I'm moving with urgency here. I'll happily pilot us away, but I'm definitely just keeping a strong eye out while as we head towards the Docking Bay 72.
Yeah, you good. You keep us safe, big man.
You know, when I heard we were going to Chimera, I thought we were just getting demoted. Now I feel like this is a suicide mission.
When is it anything different with Omnitech?
I mean, they've been trying to kill me for years. They haven't done it yet.
Look, it's still a bit of a sensitive subject. You guys know about my sister.
Of course we do. Now, that said, I mean, they've been, you know, they've been trying to do something funny to us. There's a reason they put us all together.
so that we can serve, because we're the best.
I like your attitude, Haley, with two Y's.
Thank you.
I haven't been here long, but I definitely don't think we're the best that Omnitech has.
Hey, don't sell yourself short.
Speak for yourself.
I wasn't selling myself short, man.
Wow.
So the four of you make your way to Docking Bay 72. You're going through this dingy, crappy space station that probably cost trillions of credits to make and have since been abandoned by whatever entity made it and taken over by the gangs that have sprung up here. You count your way up to docking bays, passing corridor after corridor. The first one is for docking bays 1 and 2 only, then 3 through 10, then 10 through 20. Sometimes the docking bay corridors are just for one or two massive docking bays that are meant for frigate-class ships. Other ones are a bevy of smaller docking bays, all crowded together, fitting, most likely in its heyday, 2, 3, 4 strike fighters per docking bay, meaning that there would be 100 for a single corridor leading off to one of these docking bay sets. You make your way up to the 50 through 80 section. You're looking for docking bay 72. In this section, like all the other sections, it's full of grime and refuse, dirt. It smells of stale, recycled air. But something different about this area are the scorch marks on the wall, the dried blood on the ground, weeks if not months old. Barricades have been built in various places along these corridors. A war broke out at some point. Massive battles along these corridors. There is a barricade directly across the entrance to docking bays 50 through 80. It's built of stacked storage bins and metal sheeting. Two armed guards wearing hacked together armor painted in bright greens and yellows stand behind the barricade. The barricade is about 10 feet tall, and they're on some sort of ledge behind it. On each of their left shoulder pads is a red emblem of a fierce rat. One wields a semi-automatic pistol, which he brandishes at you as you approach, and the other sports a sawed-off shotgun, which he holds at the ready.
Ah, the welcoming committee.
They both also have knives in bandoliers across their chest. Their shoulder pads are spiky, but not as spiky as their hair, as each sport identical green and yellow mohawks. One of them speaks up and just, "Hey! Hey! This area's off limits to the likes of you."
"Gentlemen, gentlemen, we're here on official business. We're looking for 72. And I very gregariously step forward and like put my arms out like this doesn't have to be a shootout.
He's brandishing, the one that's talking is just brandishing his semi-automatic pistol around, pointing it at each of you and then scratching his head with it. He's like, "Oh yeah, well, I don't see no 72 here, so why don't you 72 yourself away from us?" And they high-five each other.
"That was a good one, gentlemen. Now, I mean, we might have to take a little step away, because, I mean, I was just trying to show off around here. All these barriers y'all put up to keep back the orphans. I know you have a whole bunch of orphan barriers around here. Is that right?"
"Orphan barriers? What the hell are you talking about? Orphan barriers? I was an orphan. I don't, my friend here was an, what do you mean? What the fuck do you mean orphan barriers?" And now he's pointing his gun at you.
"I mean, I'm just showing her, look y'all got such a nice looking barrier here. Didn't mean to disturb. Now, what a nice little rat. Oh, that's a spiked hair."
"I think what my friend is trying to say is we don't mean any offense, but we do need to get beyond your barrier."
"Get beyond our barrier. Listen to these fancy gentlemen coming in from the south side of the station. You don't know who we are? You're obviously not from around these parts, because we're the Drift Rats. We drift like rats all around this side of the station. And you think you're going to come in here and get across our barrier? You're in Drift Rat territory. Or do you not understand that yet? Because I can pump you full of lead, and maybe that'll give you a little bit of an idea where you are."
"I didn't know the Drift Rats. I didn't know we were in Drift Rat territory. Y'all should have said something earlier. I mean, that's my boys."
Haley's just standing off to the side, starting to do up her old flex routine, crunching her knuckles. "We know where we are. We're on our way to 72. Move."
So I need you to roll talk, Robert Ross, which is not a skill you're good at.
"Well, I tried to talk him up real good, and I rolled a 5.
So as you guys approach, the 10-foot barrier, and you're crunching your knuckles, cracking your knuckles, and Robert is basically trying to ingratiate yourself to them, right, Robert?
Or at least let them know that, I mean, I respect the Drift Rats. The Drift Rats are a mighty gang.
So, unfortunately, you didn't roll very high. So, as you approach, the shotgun guy also points his gun, and he says, "Hey, yo, I don't like that they're getting so close to us there." And the other one says, "What do you think you're gonna do? Get over this wall?" And he pats it really hard. "Back up. You're not allowed in Drift Rat territory. You're probably working for them neon fangs anyway." Puh! And he spits on the ground. "Neon fangs. More like, more..." And he looks over at his friend. "More like, He snaps his fingers, looking for help. The guy just looks at him.
"Neon lames.
We hate them."
"Ah, the neon lames. I'm glad I thought of it. The neon lames. You're a bunch of them neon lames."
"Listen, we're not with the lames. We respect the Drift Rats, and we're on official business. And I'm telling you two that it would be in your best interest to let us through."
"Oh, okay. Well, Thorn, why don't you roll a talk, because you're trying to intimidate them."
I rolled a 12.
"God damn."
So yeah, with a 12, you say that and they go, "Hey, you know, Box, I think these guys are serious." "Ah, shut up with ya. Okay, tell you what, y'all look pretty serious. Why don't you just stay there and I'll get old Rustclaw. He'll talk to you and he'll sort this out. He'll sort it out. You stay here and he'll sort this out."
"I'm sure."
He hops down off the back of the wall, and the guy with the shotgun just keeps it kind of trained on you, and his face is just completely blank. It's obvious that there's not a lot of lights on in there.
So I just kind of smirk at him, and then I turn back to the group, and I like huddle up real quick, and I'm like, "What the fuck are we going to do?"
"We're going to punch them."
"They're 10 feet up on a giant wall."
"After they come down."
Sorry, y'all. I mean, I'm going to have to let the muzzle take care of this one. These boys are low tech.
What if we just tell them we, I don't know.
I mean, we could go the lowest tech route. I mean, we got 1,000 credits. I mean, what kind of bribe these boys want? Probably not very much. They don't look like much. I think anything could make a difference in their lives, you know what I mean?"
"You're crazy. I'm not giving our credits to these bumbling gangsters."
"You want to tell the boss at Omnitech that we got stopped before we even got to the ship?"
"I don't think we'll get to tell him much before we're dead. Maybe you're right."
"Intruders, welcome to the lower docking bays." You turn to find a hulking, heavily scarred man. His nickname of Rustclaw comes apart quite clearly as his left hand is missing and has been replaced with a mechanical cybernetic claw. He looks like a beast built for sheer strength, and he has a very commanding presence. "Box tells me that, well, you want to get through to Docking Bay 72. Look at me, I'm a poet, everyone." "Good one, boss, good one."
If it isn't the great and illustrious Lord Rustclaw, thank you for taking the time to meet with us. Yes, we would like to get Docking Bay 72. Very important business."
I see. "Well, you're in Drift Rat territory. You can't just walk on through. That's not the way this works."
Of course. I'm sure."
"What do you want in Docking Bay 72?
"Oh, I nervously look back at everybody else, and then I look back at Rustclaw again, and I say, but that's where we parked?"
"We've been in control of these docking bays for years now. What do you mean that's where you parked?"
"Oh, I think that this is just a big misunderstanding, and we just need to pay the toll, right, Felix?"
Yeah, boss. You gotta pay the toll."
As this is happening, can I size him up compared to Haley? Because I want to give it the old, "Hey, what about an arm wrestling contest?"
Ooh.
Similar size. It's Hulk versus Thanos.
Is he on the wall or is he down where we are?
He's on the wall.
Yeah, okay.
"A toll, you say? Well, Docking Bay 72 is one of the ones we've been unable to open these past several years. Tell me what's in there, and maybe you can do a favor for me in exchange for the goods that I own."
"Man, we just told you, it's where we parked."
"What kind of ship is in there, you daft fool?"
"A spaceship."
"And what kind of favor are we talking about?"
"It depends on what kind of spaceship is in there."
"So you're telling us y'all don't even know what's in your docking bay?"
"There's a lot of security in here. unable to open all the doors to all the docking bays. We've gotten a lot of them open. Don't get me wrong. This one we haven't quite opened yet.
Oh, well, I can open one of the other ones for you in exchange for you letting us through to 72.
And it's nothing special. It's just an old, you know, small ship. It was left to poor Felix. His uncle just passed and he left it to him in his will. So we're here to pick it up.
I'm just curious if my big, strong friend over here can open the door with her bare hands. Felix, y'all gonna need to hack this. If she can open this with her bare hands, will you let us take the contents of what's inside?
No, what do you take me for, a fool? Do you think I became the leader of the Drift Rats by just giving things out based on feats of strength? Boy, I am a feat of strength! I care not for seeing such musculature. Then he points down at you and he says, you tell me what type of ship is in there, and I'll proportion a favor. You do this favor, we open those doors, based on I'm assuming you have the code to get in. And if that type of ship is in there, you weren't lying to me. Ipso facto, you can take it away because the favor has been rendered in full and a drift rat is always worth his word.
It's just a free merchant. And yes, we have the codes.
A free merchant that's been sitting there for how long?
Who knows? How old was your Uncle Felix?
Well, let's see. Uncle Roger died. I mean, I moved planets a couple times. You know how hard it is to keep track of interplanetary time. How long did you say y'all had been here? 5 years or so? I think it was about 6 years ago.
If that thing's been sitting there for longer than 2 weeks without maintenance, it's probably a rust bucket that's not flyable by now anyway. I'll tell you what, I have a small favor for you. Obviously, you've heard of the Drift Rats, but have you heard of the Neon Fangs?
You mean the Neon Lames?
Neon Lames. Hey, boss, that was my joke. I made a silence you. If I want to know who said a joke, I'll ask. The Neon Lames, that's a good one. Yes, the Neon... the Neon Lames. The Neon Lames are, they're another gang. A lesser gang. They're a bit more south of us. They have some of the docking bays. And they've been trying to expand their reach. They've, forgotten exactly who is in charge of this side of the space station. And they need to be reminded. Do you have someone with you that can hack?
Yeah, you could say so.
I've been hatching a little plan for a while now, but, our hackers are, not really up to the task. They're not fighters, and this requires going behind enemy lines.
What's the hack exactly?
Move into the Neon Lames territory. Neon Lames. And you're going to try to take down their systems from the inside. Of course, all of their ports are firewalled, so you're going to have to actually move into their territory to use one of the unprotected ports. Plaster the Drift Rat's insignia all over every screen on the station if you can access them, with the message on it, better a rat in the drift than a king in a cage. That's our motto, and we live by it. Remind them who's in charge of this station. You could do this, and we see the proof on our own screens. You can come back here, and we'll let you access to Docking Bay 72. Opening the door will be up to you. We'll give you a hearty handshake and a glass of brew if you wish it, because you'll be honorary drift rats if you can make the Neon Lames look that fang. I mean, lame.
you have a copy of this program you won't run?
No. You got to write your own program. What do I look like? Someone who writes programs? Do I? Look like I'm wearing glasses?
Well, your logo, and then what was it again?
Better a rat in the drift than a king in a cage, finishes Box.
All right. Yeah, that'll be no problem.
That's great stuff, by the way. Great stuff.
He waves his hand dismissively and hops off to the back of the wall, and you can hear him moving back off into the docking bays. Box waves his semi-automatic at you, and he goes,
all right now, you heard the boss. Get the fuck out of here and do the job. Or you're gonna get shot in the head a couple thousand times.
All right. I turn around and I look at Felix. This is no problem for you, right?
Yeah, no, that'll be fine. We just need to get to the right interface. So let's, he said, what did he say, south of here? I never know which direction is which in space.
It's all rotating.
So you leave docking bays 50 through 80, unable to get into docking bay 72, and you're gonna go try to figure out where the Neon Fangs are, how to infiltrate them, how to hack them, and do exactly what Rustclaw needs to allow you access to your ship. So, have at you.
Felix, how long is it going to take you to write a program that does that?
Oh, I could do it while we're walking. It'll just take me a little bit of time, but, I mean, to get into their system, I mean, if you let me prep for a bit here, we could, you know, I could do it, no problem. I need, like, I don't know, a good hour and a half to sit down and work through this, you know, make sure I got the right routes through their protocols. Or, you know, we just go in there and I wing it.
And I will say, you're on a space station that has accommodations. So if you guys need to, it is getting on in the day. It'd be nice to spend the next night on your spaceship. But if you can't do things fast enough, there are hotels, CD and non-CD here on the space station.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Thorn, you know, you've seen me in action. I can do this, no problem. This is a baby hack. Like, the fact that their guys couldn't do it, I mean, I wouldn't even call them hackers. They're, you know, kids playing around. Yeah, just give me 10 minutes in front of one of their terminals and I'll be fine.
I mean, 10 minutes might be a little bit of a time. Do you know what kind of security we're going through here?
No, that's what the 10 minutes is for.
Hopefully not a big 10-foot concrete wall.
That's what I'm worried about.
Oh, you mean physical security? Yeah, I don't know about any of that stuff. Y'all got to figure that out. Cybersecurity, yeah, like I said, that's the 10 minutes. You know, 10, maybe 15 minutes tops.
Yeah, that's that click of the clack part. No, I'm talking about what am I going to have to deal with to make sure that you have them there 10 minutes?
Well, a slightly crazy look flashes across my eyes. Why don't we go find out?
That's what I'm talking about. That's my boy, Felix.
Okay, so tell me how you want to approach this. You're heading towards Neon Fang territory.
And we have a decent idea of where that is, right?
Yeah, so you know that they hold some of the docking bays south of 50 through 80.
All right, so we're looking for the 30 through 50 area or whatever it is.
Yeah, so you eventually find the Neon Fangs are holding. You don't quite know the extent of their holdings, but you do know that they don't start to hold until the low 40s. And they hold multiple corridors, but they're smaller. They're not like the big neon rat, the big drift rat section of 50 through 80, where it's one massive corridor with a bunch of stuff behind it. They hold many smaller corridors with only a few docking bays behind each one. So as you approach this area, it's less of a barricade that's stopping people from going in and more of a residential area and lots of stalls and merchants and the Neon Fangs sort of patrolling the area more like armed guards and preventing people from going down certain docking bay corridors. But other than that, they've seemed to have built a community that they are the protectors or perhaps exploiters of here in the lower areas of the docking bay.
Okay, what I was gonna say was that we should keep our eyes peeled for anyone that looks like they're with the Fangs, but it sounds like we can see that.
Yeah, so the Neon Fangs are dressed in similar like street armor as the Drift Rats, but their colors are different. They're spray painted red or black, red and black all over their armor. And they have an emblem of a rat that looks very similar to the Drift Rat, but it has two giant fangs on the front, like coming out of its rat-like mouth. So their emblems are practically identical, but one has fangs. And I'm sure there's some sort of message in there about how we're all actually alike.
Yeah, I'm sensing some politics.
Yeah, I wrote pages, reams of history about these two gangs and how they splintered from the same. No, I didn't. No. Or did I?
I'm like, where's the Romeo and Juliet story here?
Yep.
If you guys want to stick around in the space station, I'm sure you could find that story.
That guy with the handgun was clearly Mercutio.
Yeah. I mean, so as we're moving through this area and we kind of see all the things you described, the stalls, the guards, I'm looking around for any like access points that seem like they're tied into, you know, that they that I could check out to see if they're tied into the right network and begin doing some analysis of the system here.
Sure. So you're moving down essentially what is the main corridor. All the docking bays have other corridors that branch off of this one. This main corridor with all these stalls and people is the same corridor you've been following that goes all the way back to Drift Rat territory and also goes all the way to the lifts to bring you up to the upper levels where you actually went to like the Omnitech gas mining front. So this is just the main thoroughfare. You do spot a port. It's currently in use by a merchant who has a small stall selling handmade rugs and towels. He has a laptop looking device plugged into it with a great ribbon cable.
I nudge Thorn. Hey, I gotta get on that.
That exact one.
I mean, have you seen any others? Haley? Rob, you seen any others?
Sure, we can keep looking. I mean, he's just a merchant.
He looks nice. Like, somebody should go talk to him.
You want me to distract him?
I can go ask.
Yeah. Before y'all do that, I'm kind of curious just to give him a little bit of distraction. If I might just roll around in some grease and spike out my hair real quick, make it look like I'm a... a neon lame.
I mean, don't say it. Yeah, I mean, you do you, Bobby.
I turn my afro into like the most gigantic spiked dreadlock fro thing you've ever seen.
I'm just curious, what method of adhesion are you using to turn your afro? What color is your afro?
It is a white afro that has been just dunked in floor grease. Just like, I'm just like rubbing it up against a wall.
Oh my God.
Your afro touches a wall and immediately turns into shoulder length hair. That's how greasy it gets instantly. So you spike it up the best you can with floor grease and whatever else is rubbing off of the floors and wall. It's a disgusting, it's less of an afro and more of a block of hair now that is, it's a trapezoid of hair. But you are missing the red and black spray painted armor.
Well, the black's coming from the grease because I'm now just rolling around in grease. Haley, can you try to make a little rat up in here somewhere? Can you just like draw a rat up in there?
No.
People are looking at you a bit funny here in this main thoroughfare of the space station as you roll around on the floor and rub your head against the wall.
I kind of, as he's doing this, I kind of feel kind of, you know, limps over and I lean against the wall near where the merchant's computer is plugged in as close as I can get to it and kind of like, you know, make it obvious that I'm rubbing like a painful part of my body. Like, and I kind of like hiking up my pants so people can see my robot legs and I'm like rubbing the joints where my legs meet my hips. And I'm just like leaning against the wall for a quick little rest.
Okay. We're going to roll a couple of skills here for both of you.
This is deranged. Yeah. Haley is terrified right now of what's going on the floor.
I have nothing to do with that. Robert just went for it. And I'm just like trying to take advantage.
He walks up and he's like, I got an idea. And he starts breakdancing.
No, I love it. My sister, I'm like, this is what my sister experienced. And I'm just going through a whole lot of reshaping what I thought strike unit. I was like, I'm like, is this a normal strike unit 6 adventure, Robert?
Let me tell you, this is the least weird thing we did.
So, Robert, I'm going to have you roll perform dexterity. No. Let's do perform. Yeah, no. Perform dexterity is perfect. So you're rolling around on the ground, rubbing your hair everywhere, trying to get it into an approximation of a neon fangs armor and hair style, which is obviously never going to happen. But unbeknownst to you, you are causing the exact distraction you wish to cause by becoming a neon fang. So with a roll of 8, you meet the DC and you have captured the attention of the nearby rug and towel merchant who is saying, Felix, who's right next to him, next to the port on the wall, can hear say, what the blazes? That young man's lost his mind. And Felix, I need you to also roll perform because you're trying to act like you have a reason to be leaning against the wall. So let's do perform.
I am in pain. I am in legitimate pain as well.
Yeah, but you're trying to mask your true intention of, yeah. So go ahead and roll perform charisma.
I rolled a 6, sadly.
Okay, so, but you get a bonus from the distraction. All right. The merchant is not looking at you. You're just another, you know, man with, well, I guess you have prosthetic legs, but you're another, you know, another older gentleman that's having problems rubbing his legs. And his attention is just purely captured by this white afroed man rolling around on the ground. In fact, he's capturing a bit too much attention as two neon fangs down the corridor seem to have noticed him and are starting to make their way towards him.
Well, I'm not going to have enough time, I think to myself, to do the hack here, or will I? So first thing first, I'm going to unplug his laptop and plug in my data pad.
Okay. He is too wrapped up in what's happening to notice.
So I perform like the handshake and like, can I tell that this is a neon flame? I forget their actual name. Neon flame.
Fangs.
Neon fangs. This is an actual neon fangs like connected to their systems.
So to determine that, I'm going to need you to make some sort of exploratory computers roll. So you plug in, you grab, what kind of device are you using? Are you opening a laptop or is it a data pad?
No, it's a data pad. It's like a slab. It folds out into like a three screen thing. It's called a data slab.
Awesome. So you plug your ribbon cable into the port and you slide open your data slab and you hurriedly type on, is it a virtual interface or is it actual like physical keys?
It's like a virtual interface.
So using the virtual interface, although you are within the Neon Fang's territory, this port is in the main corridor and thus is not part of their firewalled infranet.
Mm. Okay. Realizing that, I'm going to try to pull out a network map of the local area.
Okay. I'll keep your role from before. This is all a single hacking attempt. So, you continue typing as the Neon Fang guards are, you can see out of the corner of your eye, they are now conversing with your group. And Robert Ross has stood up from the ground and they're all talking. So you're typing, they're continuing to distract, and you pull out a network map that tells you how many different ports are here in this corridor, but also that the ports that are firewalled, you can tell because you can't reach past those ports and figure out what's on the other side of them, which means they're firewalled. That is where the Neon Fang's ports are. But you do have their physical locations. Meanwhile, two Neon Fangs walk up to you, Robert, while you're on the ground. They each have pistols and knives, but holstered and sheathed. And one of the Neon Fangs says, "Citizen, you are causing alarm. Please stand."
Sir, yes, sir. Happy to stand up for y'all. Love the Neon Fangs, by the way.
They go ahead and they help you up, and they're kind of dusting you off and trying to get the grime off you a little bit, but they don't try too hard. They turn to Captain Thorne, who just happens to be the closest one, and says, "Is this your friend?"
"Yes, my apologies. He is having a bit of a traumatic stress episode, but I think he's coming on the other side of it now. Thanks for your assistance."
"Absolutely understand. Well, I haven't seen you around here before. This is Neon Fang's territory. We try to keep the peace the best we can. Obviously, your friend wasn't hurting anyone, but we can't have him rolling around in the streets. Are you new in this area?"
Yes, actually."
"Well, welcome to the Neon Fang's territory. We keep everything as safe as we can from the other gangs, essentially from here down to Docking Bay 20. I don't know if you've gone that south yet. If you need lodging, there are several hostels as well as one more upscale hotel. A lot of residents have been moving in and taking shelter in what we unfortunately are calling a shanty town, but there's plenty of space there if you simply need the bed somewhere outside and you are, you know, bereft of credits, let's say."
"Well, that's extremely helpful. Thank you. And if I could ask, I don't suppose the Fangs have like a central base of operations in these areas, do you?"
It depends what you're looking for. Now, if you need some sort of help navigating the area or you want to talk to our leaders about some concern with our community, you can go two docking bay corridors down. That's two on the port side. Whenever we say a number of corridors, we're talking about port side corridors. Go two down and then it will be that next corridor.
"And theoretically, if we were having some that, of course, did not necessarily happen, issues with drift rats, would y'all be able to help us with that?"
"If drift rats enter this territory, we kindly ask them to leave. We don't take them as a legitimate threat. Of course, they've harassed our citizens before and interrupted our supply lines, and they've taken a section of docking bays to the north that are largely useless, which is why we haven't attempted to move into them ourselves. But of course, they are a problem from time to time, yes. We wouldn't move against them, though, based on something that happened outside of this area, no. But if you've had trouble with them, I would simply tell you, stay away from them. There's plenty of stable sections of the space station where you can call your new home, and welcome to Crimea 4.
"Well, it's been a delight speaking with you, gentlemen. Thank you."
"Oh, if you're going to be picking a place to live on Crimea 4 and you end up staying in the Neon Fangs community, my name is Roger. I actually run a pool hall just down. Well, I guess I thought I'd be running it, but as a guard with the Neon Fangs, I don't have that much time. So I suppose it's probably more fair to say my wife and my eldest, Axel, run the pool hall. So if you play billiards, or if you like to gamble a little bit, or just want a good place to drink with a few friends, called Rogers. That's my name. It's down there, four corridors, and you'll find it.
Well, thank you.
Thanks. You're so kind.
He shakes each person's hand in turn.
while that goodbye is happening, I'm unplugging my data pad and plugging back in the merchant's laptop.
And I give him the most long and awkward, greasy handshake.
Oh, God.
He does show on his face that he thinks it's awkward and greasy, but out of politeness, he waits for you to finish the handshake. He obviously thinks that you're suffering some sort of like emotional trauma. When you release his hand, he grips you by the shoulder for a moment and he says, "My friend, whatever's happening, it will get better. It will." And he claps you on the shoulder. "Just stay with your friends. They're a good lot."
"You, sir, are a kind man, and I will absolutely... Matter of fact, I love billiards. I've been playing since I was a boy. I'm going to go by Roberts."
It's Rogers. My name's Roger.
Rogers. I totally knew that. I knew that the whole time. I'm not suffering from a mental break. You're suffering from a mental break.
It's a common problem. People call me Robert all the time. Don't worry about it. It's fine. So yeah, Rogers just sound, and I can't wait to see you there. All are welcome. First round is on me of pool and drinks. If you don't drink, we have water too.
Wow, thanks, Roger.
Thanks, Roger.
And Roger and the other guard who was standing a little bit off, just kind of watching the crowd during that, leave. And as they leave, the second guard gives you kind of a half-hearted wave, like he regrets not being more part of the conversation. And they move on deeper into Neon Fang's territory towards Roger's billiard hall.
Guys, what the fuck? Sorry, that was rude. What? They're awesome here. Yeah, like what's in this code? I don't.
Well, I kind of feel bad now. Yeah, Haley's right.
Guys, it's a prank. Do you not get, like, I'm putting up a picture and some words. It's a prank.
It's just a prank, bro.
It's so we can get access to our ship.
Are we sure?
I wrote the program, Haley.
Is it a nice prank?
Yeah, but we're still the bad guys.
Yeah, it's a picture and some words from some dumbass gang. These are just people. We're never going to see them again.
These are just people.
These are just people.
As if that diminishes what they are.
Dude, if we go to that pool hall and drink their beer, they're not just people anymore.
What pool hall? What are you talking about?
You missed a whole thing, Felix.
Did you not hear Roger?
I got a map of where all their ports are. We can go now and finish this.
Is one in Rogers? Because let me tell you, that place sounded great.
What? What is Rogers? What are you talking about? Oh my God. Who are you people?
There's a free beer. Like,
wait, I was too busy rolling around in grease. It's free beer?
He said he'd get us the first round free.
He did say first round is on him, and that did constitute a verbal contract.
Where did he say this place was?
Four corridors down.
I cross-referenced that against my map of ports.
So to get to any of the firewalled ports, you're going to have to go through one of these locked doors, either a barricade or a shut door. But there is a barricade and a shut door, basically every corridor that you pass.
Listen, like, we can go there if you want, but we're not here to have a good time.
Hey, excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Yes?
Yes, young man.
It's the carpet towel seller.
Ah, yes. Carpet towel salesman. How can I help you?
Would you like to buy something? You've been in front of my stall for a long time now.
Not my real business.
I believe we were just leaving.
Oh, okay.
Your textiles are lovely.
I'll take a towel.
No, don't pay that much. Don't pay that much.
So, how much is it?
Yeah, that'll be 3 credits for the towel, dearie.
It's too much. Come on, just walk. We're just walking away.
But your towel.
My cabbages.
Like, we all need towels for space adventures.
So are you heading to Rogers? Is that what I've heard?
Listen, I found this. I pulled up this map of the ports. We got to get through one of these locked doors.
And you guys are walking down the main thoroughfare right now as you talk.
I'm talking in hushed tones. Listen, you see all these, and I'm pointing out the locked doors and like the barricades as we walk past. We got to get in there. That's where I can do my work. Somebody's got to get me in there.
Will, can you hack one of these doors? I'm in perfect Neon Fang disguise, so I can easily watch the door.
Robert, I don't know how to tell you this, my friend, but the disguise is not that great.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I think it's worth one beer.
And maybe there'll be... Listen, Felix, is there one 4 corridors down? Can we check that corridor and see how close it is?
Yeah, it's like there's like every corridor.
All right, let's go.
All right. All right.
So in an attempt to kill two birds with one stone, we're going to go four corridors down and see if we can find the door that's there, or doors, I guess, and see what their proximity to Rogers is.
Okay, and I hate to say it, guys, but we're out of time for the night. So we're going to go right into the crew logs section of the pod. So for our first time listeners, which is everybody, because this is our first episode, unless you're listening to our episode 100, God willing, in the future, and you've come back to listen to the first episode ever, welcome back. We are now going to do our crew logs, where everyone in the crew gets a chance just to give their final thoughts, maybe think ahead to what's going to be happening in the next adventure. So make sure you stay tuned for episode 2. So I think we'll start with Scott. What does Felix think?
Well, the group is dragging me to some godsforsaken billiards hall. More people, I guess. But I think there's a chance I can find one of those access points that I need. We'll see what we turn up.
Daphne, Bailey with two Ys.
You know, this has been a weird mission so far. First, there's that robot, which, weird. Then, you know, unexpected from Omnitech. Then, we, you know, can't even buy towels after dealing, you know, watching Robert roll around in oil because of the neon flames. And thank God we've met one nice person on this place, but, you know, people are seem to be hell-bent. Hopefully, we can just finish this mission before someone messes something up and also get Robert clean.
He needs it. Brian, what's Captain Thorne thinking right about now?
It's a shame we ran into the crazies on this station before we ran into any normal people, but at least we're on our way to getting that ship. Did you see what they were charging for rugs on this thing? Oh boy, it's a good thing these drinks are going to be free.
And last but not least, Robert Ross.
Felix and Haley with one wise sister. Love working with a crew that ain't a bunch of randos. That said, these here drift rats, well, they seem like a bunch of chumps. But a ship's a ship. We need her.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Dark Star Adventures. The story's just heating up, and our crew's challenges are only just beginning. Will they find a way to outsmart the Neon Fangs and get to Docking Bay 72? You'll have to join us next time to find out. Until then, stay sharp, keep your engines running, and remember, out here among the stars, survival is the ultimate victory. See you next time on Dark Star Adventures! If you're enjoying the show and want to dive deeper into the lore, please check out our Patreon. You'll get ad-free, early access to every episode, plus a whole bunch of bonus content, including the Star Master logs, where I personally break down how the campaign's put together, what I'm planning, what I'm improvising, and what secrets are still waiting in the dark. You'll also get Haley's notes ripped straight from her old-school analog notebook, as well as exclusive character insights, behind-the-scenes glimpses you won't hear in the main show, and much more. Support the mission at patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast. And as always, thanks for listening, and keep following that signal.
Well, hey there, folks. Welcome to Astronomica, a Stars Without Number actual play podcast.
Our story takes place 6 centuries after the collapse of an interstellar empire as a band of ne'er-do-wells picked through the ashes.
We're not ne'er-do-wells.
If anything, we're oft-do-wells.
When have you ever done well?
We've had more than 160 episodes. There's been tons of well-doing.
That's too much for him to go back through.
Then he can listen to one of our regular synopsis episodes and get all caught up on the backstory.
Okay, fine, but you're rare-do-wells at best.
Okay.
Yeah. Fine.
Guys, do you think we should scrap Astronomica and just make a show called Rare Do Well?
Yes, I do.
No, yes. We've got more than 3 years of zany characters, unique planets, and novel sci-fi situations. We've built an awesome and inclusive fan community. We are not starting over.
Okay, but I mean, Astronomica kind of sucks. Rare Do Wells sounds awesome.
Don't listen to them. Astronomica is great. We're really proud of it. Check us out on a podcatcher of your choice or visit astronomicapodcast.com. Excelsior.